we are people, and like it brought grown men to tears.
Jack Viney may not have a pain threshold, but that's not to say that he doesn't think about getting hurt on a football field. Forever pushing himself to the extreme in a desire to be the best that he can be, the Melbourne Football Club's co-captain is prepared to crash through pain, convention, even, as you're about to hear, extreme hunger. And here, he gives us an insight into that intense world. Jack Viney is with us. Appreciate your time today, Jack.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Damien.
The manner in which the Demons lost the preliminary final last year, how has that impacted on you personally in the months since?
Yeah, that was a pretty hard pill to swallow. To get so close, those opportunities don't come along very often. It was now into my coming into my seventh season, and we had a terrific opportunity to achieve all the kind of hopes and dreams. You work so hard to get to, and to let it slip in the manner we did was shattering. You're definitely a strong reflection upon that game and how the season finished. And it's, it does spur you on to try and get better and look for little things here and there to improve.
No such thing as any good loss in a preliminary final, but is it possible upon that reflection that the magnitude of it was in some ways a good thing, that it was actually better than a 4 or 5 goal loss? Is that possible?
I don't look at it as a good thing, but you are right in the magnitude in which we lost and how significant that was. It does force you to really reflect on it hard. Clear learnings do come from it, and so in that way it does create clear things to move forward with.
Was there a learning you took out of that game that you may not have been aware of until that 2 hours?
Nothing I wasn't aware of, or nothing stood out that I didn't see coming. It's just more under pressure. Like, you're not going to get more of a pressure environment than that situation itself. And being able to stand up from a leadership point of view, performance point of view, role playing point of view, it's just that bit harder and more difficult to execute. So that's probably where I see it's just got to get better in all those aspects, and next time that level of pressure is put on you, you stand up and embrace it.
Yep. Personally, Jack, your competitiveness, even from the years, plural, before you entered the AFL system, has been well known and to people around you. Do you see yourself differently to others when it comes to competitiveness?
I always like to win, and I never doubt myself, and I never see someone as... No matter who I come up against, or no matter what kind of obstacle I face, I feel like I can overcome it. So, from that point of view, I've always looked at challenges with that approach.
Mm. And that happened at a very young age, didn't it? Was it early teenage years even, or even in the single figures that you may have realised or thought that you?
I've always been like that, listening to stories about even when I was, a little toddler before I can remember, my mum and dad saying just how defiant I was. If they said something, I was trying to do the opposite. I always wanted to have the last laugh So I think it's just been ingrained for me, in me from a very young age. And, it's just, developed as I've gotten older.
Yeah. Even as you were still a young footballer in the system, albeit someone who's about to enter a seventh season, which makes you feel a little bit old, but do you still feel that young kid partially going into 2019?
I do. It gets harder seeing the young kids come through, because that's when you probably start feeling that little bit older. But I still see myself... I feel like an 18-year-old coming to the system, extremely curious. Feel like I've got a lot of development to be had. So I still feel very, very young in that sense.
The competitiveness element to your makeup, has it at all been an adverse effect or actions on you because of how you're wired? Has it held you back in some regards?
You're going to have to explain to me what adverse means.
Has it been something that's worked against you? You're just being so competitive, so driven. Has it forced you to play hurt, for instance, with the feet injuries that you've had? Have you pushed through certain barriers that the normal human being may not because of this need to be the competitive beast that you clearly are?
Yeah, it definitely comes with its, I suppose, its weaknesses. There are a lot of strengths to competitiveness and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it comes with its side effects. And playing a bit sore here and there, and probably you do get thrown off balance a while. So that's something I've continually have to try and work on is identifying when I might be pushing the boundaries, whether my balance might be a little bit out of whack, and then kind of resetting.
Yep. You speak to so many football people these days, and coaching a group of young men, they say, is so different to what it was even 15 years ago. In that regard, do you see yourself as old school?
I like to think of myself as a bit of a blend. Yeah. I do respond well to that old school approach. Yeah. Of coaching. I feel like if someone puts the pressure on me, I respond well to that kind of feedback. But at the same time, in my position where I have conversations with a lot of my players and a lot of coaches, I have to find a different. I have to be that new school style of football. So. Whilst personally it does work for me, that old school stuff, I do have to implement and be adaptable to the new style of coaching and football as well.
Has that been a big adjustment for you to make?
Yeah, it has been. That's been my development in my leadership coming into the system, thinking that everyone has to – there's one way of getting the best version of yourself. I was trained up from a pretty young age, from an old man, knowing what professionalism was, and what being an AFL footballer was supposed to be like, and then going through the AIS system and some elite pathways. I had a very clear image in my head what a professional footballer looked like, and then coming into the system and probably seeing, that wasn't the case with a lot of people. That was an adjustment for me to make. And especially in terms of my leadership, being able to deal with and open my mind up to different ways of getting the best out of yourself. And that's been a big learning curve.
Yeah. And did you seek outside of Melbourne Football Club assistance in all manners of dealing with that scenario?
Yeah, I've had a lot of help along the way. And I think it comes back to that competitiveness in that I'm very curious, and I want to be the best version of myself. So I'm always open to new ideas, and I like to think that just because I believe in a certain way of doing something doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way. So I've had feedback along the way, and I think I've done a good job at trying to get better and implement it, and just become the best captain and best version of myself.
Yeah, being someone who's prepared to do anything to become better, diet's obviously part of that, and it's sort of fed back a few times over the summer period. You're doing something a little bit different with diet. Are you able to take us behind the scenes a little bit on what you're doing there and why?
Yeah, so I'm intermittent fasting at the moment. I suppose it started. I probably started a couple of years ago in the off season. I just like experimenting, trying something different. Probably something I picked up from Cooper Cronk, who I sat down with, a couple of years ago, and just to chew the fat with him and try to pick his brains a bit. And he said he liked to experiment in the off season, see what worked for him, what didn't. And I kind of took a similar approach. And then, yeah, a couple of years ago, I kind of just been researching and saw intermittent fasting pop up. And I thought I'd give it a go. And at the time, the only method I knew was 5 days on, 2 days off. So eat normally for 5 days, and then for 2 days of a week, you're really restricted calorie intake. And I didn't last long at all. Like that was really hard, you know, especially during training, trying to fast with, or trying to train with nothing in your system for a couple of days. I felt like garbage, and I gave that up pretty quickly. And then a couple of years later, I kept fasting, kept popping up when I was just doing some research and looking into certain stuff. And I come across a different method of 16 hours fasting and 8 hours eating window. To do that every day, and I tried it this off season, and yeah, I really thought it was manageable. I felt great, my energy was good, and I at the time I was looking at this stuff because I was thinking maybe I could lose a couple of kilograms with my feet playing up all the time, so I didn't see it would hurt. I thought it would be something good to try, and it really worked, and worked for me at least, and yeah, still doing it now, sticking with it.
And 16 hours of not eating, 8 hours of, how's that unfold for you?
It was pretty hard, you know, like, yeah.
Is it a straight 16 hours?
Yeah, so you can have water and black coffee during that time, and your body is definitely telling you in the morning, like, yeah, you need to eat something. So you probably go through a half an hour to an hour of this feeling of you want to eat. But once you kind of push through that, you're fine. And, you know, sometimes I get to midday and I'm not even hungry, but yeah, obviously start eating.
It goes against what I feel anyway of what footballers have been about, like the constant need to replenish. That seems pretty different.
Yeah. I think it's really weird because, you're told a certain way of eating and what's best for performance growing up. And I suppose it kind of goes back to that curiosity about me exploring different things. As you know, when I was 17, 18 years old, I was told, you know, you got to smash carbohydrates to, you know, for performance. So yep,
that was the old school stuff.
Yeah. And like I was eating pancakes before breakfast, then breakfast with orange juice, and then lunch, I'm smashing carbohydrates, get to dinner, loading up on pasta, and then before I went to bed, I'm having pancakes again, and all this effort to carbohydrate load. And I got to game day, and I felt terrible, and I felt heavy and slow and lethargic, and you know, that's when I started just doing my own little bit of research here and there, and found out, you know, people have high fat diets, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll try that. I started eating a little bit more high fat. Not as much carbohydrates, and I just felt my body respond better to that. And you know, since that path, I've kind of continued to travel down that high fat, low carbohydrate style of eating, and that's what led me to fasting, because it's very similar to like a keto diet, which is kind of burning fats and using fats rather than carbohydrates as a fuel source.
And is your plan to adopt this diet throughout the course of the season itself?
Yeah, I think that's when it's going to get tricky is, game day and how best to manage that. I'm interested to – well, I want to try and play fasted and see what happens. I've just got that curiosity to see how it actually feels. But I think for the first few games of the season, I'll eat normally. And then once I feel comfortable, maybe I'll try. Yeah. But, yeah, that's the tricky part. That's something I'll work with the club nutritionist and
did they
to find out.
Push back on you initially when you suggested this to them, you want to try this?
They definitely are cautious. You know, that they understood that there are a lot of benefits to fasting when done right. But it's just tricky with being an elite athlete. Yeah. Are we missing out on anything, particularly with my history of stress fractures being in a kind of a calorie deficit for a long time can have impacts on the bone stress kind of stuff. Yeah. So they're definitely cautious, and we're working together very closely to make sure it's the right program for me. I wouldn't say they were, go ahead and do it. They're happy for me to try it and see where it leads, I suppose.
And partially your reason, as you said before, is because of what's happened to your feet in the past? That's part of your thinking, as you said?
Yeah, I mean, there are the pros and cons to it. And for me, it was something we can try over the off-season to maybe lose some weight. I just didn't feel like my nutrition towards the back end of the year was kind of where I wanted it at. I like eating big meals. I don't like portion control and minding everything I eat. So this was a way of you just got to block out 16 hours of not eating, and essentially you can kind of
What you want inside the eight, so to speak.
You're still eating like really balanced meals and eating healthy. It's not like you can just go smash Maccas or whatever, but. I can afford to have like a big meal and feel really satisfied at the back end of that.
So it's worth it.
So it's worth it. It's worth the wait, and you're sleeping for that for 8 of that 16 hours anyway. So it does make it easier. It just seemed to work better with how I wanted to go about my diet and nutrition.
Yep. Jack, your friendship with Ollie Wines, it's obviously been well documented over the journey, and I don't want to even talk about the friendship per se, but from the context of you being a captain now who's about to enter a third season in that position, with someone on a list who you would admire as a friend who did something off-field, as Ollie did this season in a leisure pursuit, what's your view on that activity for a footballer in 2019?
It's just such a fine balance, because we're not all robots, and we've got to find ways of finding that balance mentally. And for Ollie, it's obviously getting out in the country, getting back to home to Echuca, getting out on the boat and the river and skiing. So I think you got to find ways of doing that. What's find that mental balance.
What's your outlet? Your risky non-football outlet.
I'd love to go skiing and stuff, but just for my body and it hasn't been able to withstand that kind of stuff. So I spend a lot of time at home. I really enjoy video gaming. So I build a whole gaming computer at home, and I probably spend most of my time down there. It keeps me stimulated, but I'm off my feet. So it seemed to work pretty well with me. Ollie is just, unfortunately, it's that high risk that, there is a risk something can go wrong, and unfortunately it did. So, it's a hard one, but, he's a pretty competitive bloke too, and I know he's going to be working his backside off to get back as soon as possible.
As well as dieting, as well as captaining a football club, you're into your studies, finance and property?
Yeah, I'm doing commerce and property at Deakin University. It's mainly been off campus at the moment. I've been doing that for 6 years, but I've recently just sat down with Shannon Burns, our welfare manager at the footy club, and I said, look, mate, I'm now a third of the way through it's a double degree, so... I'm a third of the way through. I've been doing it for 6 years, so it means it's going to take me 18 years to get my degree. And I was thinking it's time to switch something up try something different, because as much as I enjoy my study, I don't want to be doing it for 18 years. I think I'm going ramping up a bit, doing some more subjects per semester.
You will get there?
I'll get there.
The determination of Jack Bonney will kick in.
I definitely want to finish it. It is really hard being a football player, absolutely, finding the time to study, and I think it's just going to be a really big accomplishment personally, more than having the degree. It's just more that feeling of accomplishment and fulfillment sticking with it.
In 2019, 2019, Damien Barrett will go inside the stories in conversation with the most influential figures in football in his new weekly podcast, In the Game, exclusive to afl.com.au and the AFL app. Subscribe to In the Game with Damien Barrett wherever you get your podcasts, or connect with Damien on Twitter via @BarrettDamien.
Jack, you touched on before the ability to be so competitive in everything you do. Just on an aspect of that, the pain threshold attached to being a footballer, and particularly one who's had injuries like yourself, do you consider you have a pain threshold?
Oh, I've definitely got a pain threshold, absolutely.
You just crash through it every time I do.
Yeah, sometimes it gets me into trouble. In recent times, that plantar fascia injury, which is probably was the cause of all of the issues I've had over the last couple of years. That was, looking back, it was probably a silly move for me personally, pushing through that injury, because it kind of kick-started a whole chain of events. So, it's one where I've got to really think about whether it's worth pushing or whether it's now it's time to.
But your mindset now is to at least think about it.
Absolutely. And I think it was a difficult time just because it was like we were on the verge of playing finals for the first time, and that meant so much to me. I know how much it meant to everyone else. So I was like, yeah, let's
got to be there.
I was like, I got to be there. I got to make, even if I can get two or three games out to help, and potentially I don't play finals. I was like, oh, let's make that. Let's take that risk.
So would you do that again now that you seem to know what you may have should have known?
Like from my physical point of view, like it was a really bad decision. I hurt myself quite badly, but I just keep putting myself in that position. If I was in that exact same position again with where we were at the back end of the season, and I just find it hard not to want to do the same thing again. But I suppose I was in a very similar position last year. Like we were on the edge of making finals. My stress came back in my foot, and I waited it out. I didn't,
you waited for that first final.
Yeah. We didn't, we had to win a couple of games while I was out in rehab to play finals. We got it done, and I was able to come back, and it worked really well. So yeah. I think that's, you got the two options, and yeah, kind of holding it and waiting out, it seemed to be the better one.
That may sound too simplistic, but the pain aspect of this conversation, is it empowering for you to be that person and to present to the public and competitors this person who cannot be shut down?
It's not really, like running through my head, it's not really about my, perception, how I want to be perceived. It's just... I want to kind of make the most of my opportunity. Yep. Missing a game really, really stings, really hurts. You know, there's such a short time in football, and I'm coming into my seventh season already, and it's just flown by. And I just want to get to the end of my career and know I've given it everything I've had and made the most of my opportunity. So I think that's kind of what drives me more than feeling empowered or that perception of doing it.
It's obviously a very natural thing for you, isn't it, to push through that barrier?
Yeah. It's more that competitiveness.
You just don't think about it?
I think about it. I definitely think about it, but I probably...
Is there a fear attached to it at times?
Not really. I don't know. I just do it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think about it too much. I don't think about this deeply. So,
have you ever been fearful on a footy ground? Take away the injuries and the pain.
On the football field, never. But certainly, like going to a game and knowing
to perform
and to knowing that I could potentially get really badly hurt, and what kind of position that would put me in, what kind of position that put my family in. Like my mum, she gets pretty worried. She's semi-used to it now, but, she cried the first time I went off to play my first game of AFL. So they're quite invested in me. And that kind of runs through my mind. If I was to get injured, barely injured, But then when you're out there and the footy's getting kicked around, you're just in the moment, yeah. Really.
Breaking the jaw, as you did, Jack, in that first VFL hitout when you got the special AFL dispensation to play in that game, didn't seem to change you one bit, and people around you said it wouldn't. And yet were you 16 at that time or 17?
Yeah, I think it was 17.
17, yeah. That could have changed the course of someone else's life or career, but you were just double. This happens. Is that sort of the way you approach it?
Yeah, that was a really challenging injury. Just the injury it was, breaking your jaw, getting your teeth wired. You're kind of trying to smile and your teeth aren't matching up. So mentally that was really hard time. You can't sleep. You live off painkillers for a week and a bit. So mentally that was pretty challenging, but my default is to, rise above it, I suppose, and not let that get me down. So, as hard as that was, I feel like how I approach it will match the adversity. I was determined to still come back, play footy, and do what I loved, rather than do the opposite. Yeah. I feel like that's just my mentality and my personality with obstacles. I've never felt like I've had to take a backward step because of the challenge.
We've talked a few times already about the changes in the 17-year-old to the nearly 25-year-old that you are as we speak today. Marriage, another change in the life in recent times?
Yes, just got married at the start of the year in January, so life hasn't changed up a whole lot since having that. I've been with Charlotte for 7 years now. So childhood sweethearts, and it was a very exciting day. We had an absolute ball, and very excited to see what the rest of our journey holds.
Hmm. Few changes off field as you enter 2019. A couple of big name acquisitions, and obviously one big name losses as well. The Jesse Hogan situation, if you can and if you're comfortable enough, just taking us through what you saw and what you had by way of a role in how that transpired last trade period.
Oh, I think it's just such a hard industry. As much as Hogs is a terrific player, it's just business, and he wanted to. He wanted to go home as well and be close to the family. So when the trade opportunity came up, Hogs has gone back home, and we've ended up getting Stephen May and Kay Collins-Jasny and as part of it. So you lose Hogs, which is a big kick in the butt. But then you gain Maisie and Collar at the same time. So. I feel like it's balanced itself out over that period.
Yep. Will you keep up with Jesse over the journey?
I will. I'll keep checking in with him. He lived with me for a couple of years at the start of his career with Tumpus. So, we know each other quite well, and I wish him all the best. So, it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to Freo.
Mm. And as you're about to start your seventh season, near 25 years of age. Is there a snapshot of what you've experienced inside the 6 years you've completed?
It's been a journey from my first year or two when we were really struggling. There was a lot of negative press and a lot of negativity around the football club. That was challenging. But then to come into now, where it's much more of an optimistic club and optimistic, people have got much more optimistic views on the footy club. It's exciting. Certainly learnt a lot, and know that we've got a lot more to go. A lot of development to be done. We still haven't achieved anything as of yet. Just want to continue on that path, which I'm excited about. I love football. I love the Melbourne Football Club. And I can't wait to see what comes.
You're obviously a lot younger and wouldn't have had the perspective you've now got or the context even, but you walked into a shambles, didn't you?
Yeah, it was hard. And it's hard to, at the time, because you're playing AFL football, and as an 18, 19-year-old, like, that's your dream. But at the time, we were really, really struggling. And, you know, we're rocking up at the football club and we're getting told we have to go, like, back routes to get into training because, you know, there's press out the front and, you know, you lose by 150 points and you're walking off and you've got, you know, supporters throwing scarves at you and yelling at you, and then you get into change rooms if you've got grown men and teammates crying. You know, like, that was really...
That happened that day, did it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, it's... that's what it... You know, you know, we are people, and, like, it brought grown men to tears, the kind of...
Did you cry?
I didn't.
You able to say now who did, given there's now 6 years since?
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to say.
But you just knew something that was a breaking point moment. It was about to unfold.
Yeah, this is when we played Essendon, my second game. We lost to Port round one by 80, 90 points, come up against Essendon, lose by 150 points, and we're walking off the ground, and we're getting booed. And I was like, oh, you know, they're booing the umpires or something. You know, I just didn't even register in my head what was happening. And then
that's second game of footy.
Second game of footy, and then we're walking towards the race, and I realise, like, I'm seeing a whole lot of angry Melbourne supporters leaning over the fence and hurling abuse and throwing scarves. And, that was pretty terrifying. And then to get in the rooms and you're seeing grown men cry.
Players.
I'm just like, what the hell was happening? Like, this is obviously extremely bad. So that's where we were at. And that was, like, the next week we lose by 90 points. So, like, that was kind of a whole season. And then halfway through that year, we lose our coach. And then Newty comes in. Craigie fills in. And, that was just a big year. And it got to the end. It was like, whoa. This is AFL footy now, but to see the transformation to where we are now, it's been a long road, and you know, it's been a gradual build. It hasn't been like 1 year we went from that to playing finals next year. Like, it's been a very slow progression and a process, which I've been thankful to be part of.
It's interesting to hear you talk about that Essendon game you referred to where you are now going into 2019. It couldn't be more different, could it?
Yeah, you know, like...
With the expectation, anyway.
Yeah, like, we had our challenges back then and we've got our challenges now, like, more expectation. You know, people expect us to now make finals every year. This year. And with that brings its own challenges and its own pressures on the group and the football club. But I'm certainly would take where we are now than back then. Just a bit more breathing space to get us, let us get to work and work on our craft.
Jack, really appreciate your time today and the way you've delved into the important football aspects of your life.
Thanks for having me on, Damien. Really, really enjoyed it.